things that I wanted to add about the topic of, from last week, questions and clarifications from things, and then we're going to continue on to a little of a different topic. So one thing is that some people were surprised what I said, that even if you have a cholent which is fully cooked and it's off the stove, you can't stir it. So, you know, to stir it. To serve it, obviously, you can do, because otherwise we would never be able to serve anything. But to stir it, I mentioned that you should avoid doing that. So I just wanted to clarify that it's a chumrah. It's not the Mishnah Berurah says you could be machmer on that. There's a chumrah, but it's not ikra din that you have to do that. So therefore, if let's say you're in a situation where it's going to be very difficult to, you know, you really don't think it's going to be taste good or be the way you intended it to be, if you have a specific reason why you need to, you'll be allowed to stir it off the flame. Again, the chont is in the pot, off the flame. It's better if you could transfer it to the klisheni, to a serving bowl, and then stir it. That's still better. But just to clarify, that wasn't, you know, a halacha across the board. That it's totally aser. It's a chumrah. The other thing is regarding opening an oven while it's on. So we mentioned that if you have food which is either fully cooked or pretty much fully cooked, so at least more than half cooked, you're allowed to leave it in the oven, which is on, before Shabbos. And even if there's no blech, mikra halacha, you would be allowed to leave it in there. And then the issue is, how do you take it out? If the oven is on, so how do you take it out? So just to clarify, the best way to do it, which is what I said then, is you should open the oven and take all the food out at once. But some people were asking, so I did double check on that, and I spoke to our oven Lakewood today, and he said that if you open it when the oven is on, if you notice, let's say you have a gas oven, so it's easier to see, or either way, if you have an oven and you see that the element is on when you open the oven, then there's no problem. Then you could open the oven and take out whatever you want and close it again. So if you can look and see when the oven is on, then you would be allowed to open the oven. If you can't see when the oven is on, then it would be what I mentioned, is that you would open it and take out all the food at once, and then close it, and that's it. But if you could tell when the oven is on, you'd be allowed to wait till the oven goes on and then open the oven. So that would be a way to get out of that problem, because we mentioned if you want to take out all the food at once, let's say when you're serving the soup, so by the time you get to the next course, the chicken and everything is not going to be as hot as you would have liked. So then what you can do is wait till the element or the gas goes on and then just open the oven, and that would be okay. Now, one person mentioned that newer ovens, apparently, there's a safety feature, that when you open the oven, it turns off automatically. So then waiting till it goes on is not going to help you, because then when you open it, you're turning it off. So
what about in Shabbos mode?
Yeah, so Shabbos mode would override that particular feature.
But Shabbos mode is always on, isn't it? Like always constant. You won't be able to know when it's heating or not heating.
Right, so Shabbos mode would
Shabbos
mode would override this automatic shutoff. So then if you're on Shabbos mode, but you can't wait till the oven goes on.
There's no way to know when the oven's on or off on Shabbos mode.
It's electric. You can't see it.
You can't see the
I don't see anything in my oven.
You see if it's an electric. You can't see the light goes on.
Right. Or you see the
coil.
Yeah,
you see the coil.
Right. You should do. You should be able to see the coil. So.
None of your coils are hidden. The newer
oven. Oh, I don't have a newer oven.
Oh, yeah, right. Everything is what?
There's like my oven on Shabbos mode. There's no light or anything. Right.
No, but in the oven, I'm saying.
No, you cannot see it.
You can't see the coals. Then the best thing to do would be that you know to open up and take all the food out at once, so that if it would go on, the point of that would be if it would go on, you don't care anymore about the temperature in the oven because your food is all out of there.
What about if you're leaving the door open?
That's what I was going to ask. If you just prop it open.
Could you just open it up and leave it, and then just whenever you finish, whenever you're up to that course, you'll take it out and close the door.
What do you mean, just open
leave
it?
Leave it open before Shabbos starts. Keep it open a little bit.
I ruined my whole thing one time, one yontif or whatever, because I wanted to avoid having to wait for the light to go on. And it did something to the keypad.
You mean in the first time that you open it?
Yes.
Open it and leave it open?
Open it and just like leave it open.
You put like a pot, the top of a pot, something like that. I mean,
then you're not closing it back up.
It doesn't make, that doesn't matter for this. Because here the problem is that when you open it, you're turning on the oven. That's the problem. So it doesn't make a difference if you're leaving it open.
What about time bake? What about time bake? If it's baked, then you won't open it till it's already shut off.
That's what I said last week. That's your, that's the, then you get out of everything. Then you have absolutely nothing to worry about.
Once it's off, yeah.
Now, one other thing.
It's the worst oven. If anyone ever asked anybody, Bosch oven, it is certified under the Star K. It is not usable on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. It is certified by the Star K.
But it's not. Okay.
It's certified because it means that when you open the door, the screen won't say door open. That's about all it does. It doesn't cook. It doesn't keep food hot.
So.
If you're allowed to open, if you said before, if you're allowed to open the door once and then take out all your food.
No, but the issue is like this, because if you open it once, you're turning on the flame. So if that's what we're worried about, at least, that's what we're concerned with. So if you take out all the food, so then you're not, you don't care anymore that the flame is going to go on, because it doesn't help you. Right. The idea is, the whole idea is, we don't, that if it benefits, the idea is that if it, well, right, right, right. But see, you didn't try to do it, and it wasn't sure it was going to happen. Right, but since it's not sure it's going to happen, and all these combination of things, so it doesn't matter to you. So we're more lenient. You don't really care if it's on or off at this point because the food is all out of the oven. All right. Yeah. Oh, one important. Another important factor about this point is that if let's say you opened it when it was on, again, when you saw the coil or the gas on, you opened it when it was on, and you took out only part of the food, now you're going to close it. It's important to note that you can only close it if all the food is fully cooked. Because if the food is not fully cooked, then by closing the oven, you're making it cook faster. If you have, let's say, you have chicken which you put in, you know, right before Shabbos, you were in a rush or a last minute thing, and you put it in right before Shabbos, not right before, but it got half cooked, let's say. So you're allowed to leave it in. What?
Was closing it shut?
No, the opposite. Closing will make it get hotter faster. So therefore, you're cooking it faster by doing that, and if the food is not fully cooked,
if nothing's in there, he
right,
said there's
I'm
not
saying
a problem.
Leaving, if you're leaving, leaving something in there, then you have to make sure that whatever you're leaving in there is fully cooked. Because if it's not fully cooked, you could run into an issue. One other thing which we didn't mention at all, but it does come up, is adding water to a challen. So the way you see on Friday night, let's say that the challen is drying up, and you want to add water to it. So the best way to get out of all the shilas to do it is you have to take water from an urn. You have to take cooked water, obviously. Water from an urn, and you could add it to the chalk. Now,
on the blech.
Oh, so you don't want to add the water while it's on the blech, on the fire, because if you do that, you may be stirring or whatever it is. So you have to take it off, and then you could and keep it in your hand the whole time, like we said. You know, all the conditions that require for you to be able to put it on, hold it, and then you could put water from an urn into the blech. And everyone asks, does it have to be directly from the urn? But it doesn't have to be directly from the urn. You could take it from, put water in a cup from the urn, and then put it into the challen, and then put it back. But one thing you have to remember is you can only do this if you have a blech on your challen. So a lot of people say, well, I never take the chalent off, I never have chalent Friday night or whatever, so we don't use a blech on the chalent. If you don't have a blech on the chalent, you can't add water, and you can't even add water while it's on the on there, because then in order to add... Yeah. If you have pre-cut foil or whatever, you can make a blech on Shabbos. So if you see that it's a problem, but in order to add water to the chalent, you have to have a blech on. You have to remember that. And also, one of the things, you have to know your urn, because on many urns, it depends the temperature that the water gets to. If the water doesn't actually get to a boiling point, it just gets hot enough to have a coffee or something like that. So by you taking that water and then putting it into the chalent pot, it's going to boil, it's going to reach the boiling point, it's going to evaporate out. So you're cooking the water to a higher temperature than it was cooked in the first place. And that's a problem. So you have to make sure that the urn, that the urn, it's a type of urn that actually boils the water. So I think some of these urns, you know, the double urns with the pumps, they don't.
They have a Shabbos mode, and I don't know the Shabbos mode. It never feels as hot.
Right, but there's a reboil.
The pump is very hot.
So before Shabbos, could be kedai to boil it once, to run it through a regular cycle.
Oh, if it's been boiled, then
Yeah, I don't mean it has to be boiling now. I just mean to say that it has to have reached the boil at one point, and now it's still warm, that's fine. As long as it reached the boil at one point, that's fine. So you have to, I guess, pay attention to your urn, you know, once, as it's warming up the water, does it reach the boiling point? Okay. Does it make the urn flashy?
Does the steam...
Right, that's why I said to avoid that issue, put it into a cup. Yeah, especially because it will be very hard to do it. Now, the pump ones, it's further away, whatever, but it's better to do it with a cup and take it off the urn. Okay. So as far as cooking and reheating food, I think we, you know, we tried to cover the basic shilas that come up. So what we'll do now is we're going to go on to the next thing, which I wanted to discuss, which is the halachas of boyer on Shabbos. Boyer, choose, selecting, and separating and sorting on Shabbos, which is also comes up a lot in terms of preparing food. Okay. So there's two, just to be makdim as akdama, there's two examples, there's two basic cases of boyer on Shabbos. One example is when you have a combination, a mixture of good and bad, any mixture of good and bad stuff, and you're trying to separate the bad from the good. And then there's another case, for example, you have a cluster of grapes, some are spoiled, you have a bag of lettuce, some is no good, or something like that. So you want to make sure you only have the good ones and not the bad ones. And then there's another example, which is more like sorting, which everything is fine, but you're sorting each one into the proper place. So let's say you have silverware straight out of the dishwasher or whatever, and now you want to sort it and put it back into the proper container. That's also butter. That's not bad and good. They're all fine, but you're separating and select and sorting them into the right place. That's also butter. And we'll see how each one plays out. So the basic principle that you have to remember, in order for any time that you have this type of mixture and you're trying to separate and organize everything into the proper place or clear up the mixture, you have to have three conditions. And the three conditions are that it has to be done for immediate use, it has to be done with your hands, and it has to be done, you have to be taking the good from the bad and not the bad from the good. So let's just take the example that we said. Let's say you have this bag of spoiled lettuce, a bag of lettuce, and you want to take out some of the spoiled pieces. So what you would have to do, if you were doing it for a meal, you would have to do it prior to the meal, and we'll discuss exactly what prior to the meal means, but it has to be done basically, let's say, immediately prior to the meal, and you have to be using your hands. Again, we'll define what your hands are. You have to be using your hands, and you can't take the spoiled pieces out. You have to take out all the ones that you want to use and put those away, put those in the bowl. So, let's discuss. What does it mean, immediate use? So immediate use means, however long it takes to prepare your meal, you have that amount of time to start doing all your preparations, including the selection and the separating of things. So if it takes, let's say, for you to prepare everything from beginning to end, 45 minutes before your meal, so now you could... anything with 45 minutes before your meal, you could start doing anything you want. So you don't have to go in order, and you know, once you're 45 minutes before your meal, then you could do whatever it takes to prepare your meal, and you could do all the boyer that you need to be doing to prepare that meal. You could separate whatever it is. So now, one thing that is very, very common, and we'll give practical example, but Shabbos morning, let's say you have guests, and you don't want to have your guests waiting when they come home from shul. So you want to prepare everything. Everything should be ready to go, and then you go to shul or go to a kiddush, and you leave your house, and then you're going to come back with your guests, and now the meal is all ready to go. So anything which requires boirer, you can't do it before you go to shul, because that's not called prior to your meal. So you would have to do it when you come back from shul. So let's take our example again, the salad. You wouldn't be able to prepare the salad before you go to shul. You would have to wait and prepare the salad after you come back, even though let's say you're gonna, well, I'm taking only the good pieces, I'm not throwing away the bad, but taking the good, you have to wait till you come home from shul to do that. Or for example, this could be a common case. Let's say you're clearing the table and you're putting away food. You're putting away food from the Friday night meal, and you're going to serve some of it again on Shabbos morning. So you serve, let's say, some green beans, and as you're putting them away, you want to put away the ones that are, you know, some doesn't look as good as it, you know, it's not going to be good tomorrow. You want to throw it away. So you can't do that Friday night as you're clearing the table. You have to wait till Shabbos morning to do that because you're preparing for the next day. Or let's say you have a tray of food. Let's say you have a tray of a couple different types of deli or something, and you're putting it away in the fridge. You're finished your meal. You can't put each one back in its own thing if it's on the same platter, because all the things are mixed, and now you're separating. The white goes here, and the turkey goes here, and the meat goes there, and each one has its own container, own bag. You can't do that because you're putting it away for after Shabbos. That's not for immediate use.
One second. What if it's not mixed? Like, in other words, you have all the deli that's one kind, like, they're next to each other, but they're not mixed.
Yeah, but by the end of the, you know, but sometimes by the end of the meal, it all gets all mixed together, even if you prepared your thing very nicely before.
But it's not.
If it's on the same tray, but it's not mixed at all.
Whenever I do it, I do it.
Right. If it's totally separate, if it's totally separate, just because it's on the same plate, it's not called mixed.
That's okay.
But if you know, if you look at it and it looks like a mixed thing, then it's mixed. If it looks like, you know, you just didn't want to use two plates, but basically each one is on its own, that wouldn't be mixed. You have a question?
So let's say you're putting the challah back in the pot. Right.
Right, so if you're putting away the chalent after, let's say you're serving the chalent, and whatever's left in the bowl, you know, if there's, you're throwing away the bones and putting away the rest, you can't do that again also. Same thing. Because the bones you don't want, and you're serving it, you're saving it for a different time. Right, if you're just, let's say, randomly taking, and you're going to leave behind in the bowl some chalent, some extra, that's fine also.
Going back to the preparation for a second, what if you do like a really slow preparation? Like your kids are doing things, and like you're going back and forth, and it could take you 3 hours to prepare, even though it's not really so you can take 3 hours. But like, yeah, you start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then you go outside and you come back like.
Right.
Right. And then like, when's my preparation start?
It starts on Wednesday.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you would say in that case. I would tend to say that you should, in that case, you should probably keep whatever is, you know, more of a shot love or to the words closer to the meal. But I hear you, the question.
Is it considered a mixture if you have, like, let's say from Friday night you didn't have enough dishes and you just have a whole mess of dishes in your drain board? Like, I understand the silverware because that's, like, nobody can tell what's
right.
What. But let's say you have, you know, the dinner plates and the salad plates and the soup bowls and stuff like that.
Yeah, to take the one you need, you know, to search for the one you need is fine. But to put them all away, I would say that wouldn't be okay. Now,
no, you're not putting them away. You're just putting them in, leaving them in the dish.
No, but she's saying, let's say you take it from there, you want to put them back. I assume you mean then to select sort of.
Just pile them up.
Let's say I would want to set the table before I leave for shul. In other words, is
right.
That considered a mixture that I would have to worry about? Like the silverware sometimes.
Yeah, so what I would suggest in such a case, okay, we're going to get to figuring out how to avoid that.
Okay.
How to avoid that problem. I would, yeah. Right. No. What?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's in a bowl and everything's, you know, together like that in the sink, if it's not in separate piles, But I'm not sure if over there it's a problem because. There's no particular reason why it has to be one way over the other in the dishwasher. It just fits better. I don't know if that's its place more than anything else. So you just ran, it's, you're kind of keeping it random. Now, there's a couple other examples that go into Boyer that we're going to discuss that come up. One is peeling. Peeling a fruit is Boyer because the fruit is mixed, so to speak, with its peel. So therefore, even though we said you always have to take the good from the bad, here, since you can't get to the good without taking off the bad, you're allowed to remove the bad from the good. So here's the one exception where you will be allowed to take the bad from the good, which is peeling an egg or peeling a cucumber or anything like that. But again, you would only be allowed to do that samach l'suda, so again, you have to do that. You can't prepare that type of dish before you go to shul or in the morning. You have to prepare it during the time that it takes to prepare the meal.
Here, you cut up a watermelon, right? We'll do it right before the meal.
What if you take some good off?
Right.
What? Take some good off and bad, right?
Like where?
Like if you're peeling, but you want to do it, like, and you don't want to worry, like, I left too much time. So can you just, when you're doing the cucumber, purposely take some of the good off?
Yeah, but you have to make sure you're taking off, you know, the whole time.
You can't just do like one of your peels with some good.
The Chazon Ish says you should take off the whole time.
So can you eat some of what you're doing so you can do it earlier? Like if you're cutting up a watermelon in the morning, you can.
Yeah, but only the part that you're eating.
Only the part you're eating.
Like what? For example, let's say you're doing like a melon. Well, right. Wait, like cutting like a melon, you mean?
Huh?
You're cutting a melon.
Anything. You're cutting fruits, vegetables, whatever it is, but you are going to be doing boar because you can't peel it otherwise. You can't cut it otherwise. Right. So you have to do it right before the meal. But if you
I don't
even
right before,
some,
but yeah, but not before you go to shul.
Right, but if you eat some in the morning, you can only prepare the part that you're going to eat.
Right.
So you can theoretically only peel one hard-boiled egg. You eat one hard-boiled egg.
Right, right. That's why we started making the exile before Shabbos, because of this issue. I would say if you would ask about a peeler, also is that like we said, you have to use your hand and you can't use a utensil which is specially made for butter. So a peeler, some people have a minhag that in their family they do use a peeler, and supposedly when I was in Mechabur in Lakewood, so the Mechabrusa had in his family had a minhag from Rav Moshe that his grandmother lived across the street from Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he said a peeler is fine. But and I know other people use it, but I think that many other poskim say a peeler is a utensil which is used specifically for brera. So if you know that, you know, if you have been using a peeler till now, then you can continue to do so, but generally speaking, I think a lot of people don't use peelers on Shabbos. On Yom Tov is also a shy of using a peeler on Yom Tov even, but that's for not for now.
I have to say, I don't think it's an issue of borer, but I heard it may be a problem. It looks exactly like a peeler. It's used exactly like a peeler, but it cuts things into like two like strings, like. Is there anything wrong with using that? Like if you want to make cucumbers, call the
julienne
peeler. It doesn't do any
separator. So we'll see. That's toten, if anything. So that's grinding, if anything. So we'll see. But I think it'll be okay. We're going to get to that, hopefully. Again, so since we're saying that you have to use your hands, so any kli which is made specifically for butter is also a problem. So that means, let's say you have a slotted spoon which is made, you want to your cucumber salad or something like that is getting soggy and you want to separate it, take it out of the liquid. So it's a little bit of a problem because there's really no good way to do it. Because even if you're taking the cucumbers out of, you can't pour out the liquid. Because that's taking the bad from the good. So you can't pour out the liquid. So you only want to take out the cucumbers. So if you're taking a slotted spoon, so that's a kli, that's a utensil used specifically for brera. So, and also you can't take a regular spoon and like squeeze it against the side, because that's also, some say, is like considered using a kli. So if you really just want a cucumber, you could take a fork and take a piece out and something like that. But if you have to like, you want to separate a whole bunch of the salad and take out all the liquid, you know, a significant amount of liquid, that would be problematic. I don't really have a good way to advise you to do
what
that.
What do you do with your hand?
What?
No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
you have a big bowl, you cut a pot in your brew, what do you do with it? putting it into right. smaller bowls, yeah. you can do that.
Right. Yes. Right. Why if you just take your cucumbers, if you just take your cucumbers, right, you could take cucumbers with your hands and then and do that.
Anyone who looks right. at your house, they know one.
What if you have a teacher that
has Yeah, so we'll get to that in a second. Okay, yeah. Now, or a spoon, I mean, you could, yeah.
Brian, what do you, Brian?
If you if you're washing, washing is not a problem because anytime. And the question was, if you have a let's say your strainer, you put something in a strainer, and then you put it in there, and then you turn the sink on. So Ramosha Feinstein says it's never a problem because the water was never mixed in. Really, it ran in and it came out right away. So that's such a case like
you're
that.
Allowed to?
The tomatoes come in that little container.
No, but if you have something with water, you can't pour it into the strainer.
Right.
I'm saying if you put something into a strainer, then
like
you could turn the faucet
you
want on.
To wash them, and you could put it in a strainer and just turn the water on.
Turn the water on.
So when you buy the tomatoes, that come in
I'm not.
A carton,
this
is from
Moshe's
grapes. They come in a carton with holes in the bottom. You can wash it right in there.
You what?
When you buy fruit, blueberries, and sometimes grapes and tomatoes, they come in a carton that has holes in the bottom of it.
Right.
So you don't have to take it out of the carton to wash it.
You could just turn the water on, and it goes through the holes. The water.
Yeah, because the water was
never in there to begin with.
Yeah. I'll look into it again because people seem to be pretty surprised. It could be that the Svarim say that not to rely on this cooler from Ramosh. I'll check again. A utensil. Yeah. Also, for example, pouring off excess fat or something like that, liquid also. Anything which you're pouring out, the liquid from the solid, you can't pour off. And like someone mentioned, there is always a heter to take some good from the bad. Another case where this is very common...
Can you repeat what you just said?
I said pouring off excess liquid or excess fat or anything like that,
yeah.
What you're pouring off is a problem. Someone mentioned before the heter is taking off together with the bad, taking off the good with the bad, that would be okay. But the Chazon Ish says, like I said, you should take off along the entire length of the, let's say you're cutting off some fat from a piece of meat, you should cut off the good, not just one spot, you know, take off the good, put some meat, a little bit of meat at the top, the whole entire length of what you're cutting, you should be cutting with the meat. That's what Chazon Ish says. No, okay, so if you have just fat on the very top and you're pouring off, well, if you're going to pour off, let's say, just the fatty part, that's the problem, yeah, but if you pour off a little bit of the liquid with it and you leave some of the liquid on the bottom,
right? If you have like cucumbers down, right, you start trying to pour off the liquid. You're not going to be able to pour off all the liquid.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because what you're taking out is separating that from the rest of it, the mixture.
But it's all the liquid is the same. Yeah,
no, if you would be taking out some of the cucumbers with it, maybe that would be different. But here, the liquid that's mixed in, you're making that liquid not mixed into it anymore.
Even though you're not really...
Right. There's no halacha, you have to separate the entire mixture.
So when you cut like a melon, you have to leave some on the...
Well, a melon's like this. A melon, if let's say you cut a melon in half, and now you have the pits in the middle, the seeds. So Shlomo Zalman says that those seeds have a halacha like a peel. Because just like a peel, you're allowed to take off the bad from the good because the only way to get to the fruit is by taking off the peel. So if the peel's on the inside, it's the same thing. So if you cut a melon in half and the only way to get to the fruit is by peeling out those seeds, you're allowed to do that. Yeah, again, only samach lesuda, but you're allowed to do that. That's not called taking the bad from the good.
But you don't have to take some of the good with it?
No.
Oh, I almost did.
Yeah, right. No, because this is what Shlomo Zalman says as svara, because it's like the peel. Because the only way to get it, so it's not called taking the bad from the good, but again, you have to do it only close to the meal. Right.
What about with the pepper? How do you
the white part take out the
inside? What do you mean?
There's like
the white part and the pit and the...
Right. So what's the problem?
Do you take it out regularly, or do you have to take some pepper with it?
How do you take it out normally?
I'm saying just cut it off, but it's technically maybe like a peel on the inside, like with melon, I don't know.
It's only going to work if that's far as only because the only way to get to the melon is by is that's blocking you from getting it.
Right.
So I don't know if that's
this
the case.
This isn't
here.
Blocking you
right.
from getting it.
You're right. So you should probably
take some.
Yeah, I guess. Now, also, where this comes up a lot is when you're preparing food for children. So let's say you have some chicken or something like that, and you have to take out the bones. So here, you should really also, it has to be samuch to when they want to eat it, and you shouldn't really take out the bones from the chicken. You should rather take the chicken from the bone. So when you're preparing food for children, you have to remember to do it properly and take the chicken off the bone, and not the other way around. Or let's say you're cutting a fruit. What? The difference is which one you're moving from which.
You don't take the bone off and throw it away, and you take the chicken.
If your hand is on both, the Chazon Ish explains, if your hand is on both, the issue is which one you're moving from which.
So you're cutting the chicken off the bone, and then you take the chicken off.
Right, or are you pulling the bone out of... Or if you're pulling the bone off, then you're pulling the bone.
Right.
What do you do with grapes? What do you mean what? What type of grape? What's wrong with grapes?
You're like putting out grapes on the table. Like, are you allowed to take off the bad grapes?
No. So again,
are you allowed to take them off and take a few good ones also, or?
I mean.
You have to take the good ones from
you. I don't see how that would help you. So unless you're taking off like a whole cluster from the beginning. Taking off a couple of random bad ones and then taking off another good one from somewhere else doesn't...
Right, so she wants to know how to do it.
Yeah.
So
either serve the bad ones off.
The good ones.
Or well, what I'm saying is if you take off like a whole cluster,
right.
And on that cluster there's good ones, that's okay.
Right, that's what I mean. So every time you take off like a bad one, you just take off the good one right next to it or something, that would be okay.
Right, this is attached, right.
That's what I told you.
But to... Right. And even that, again, all... Now, by the way, that type of idea, just if you that type of idea, when you're taking off the good with it, that you'd be allowed to do even not samach lasuda, because that's not called berer at that point. That's, you know, all the other things that we're discussing is berer. You're just using a heter, so then you have to do it close to the meal. But if you're taking the bad with the good together, so you could do that even before.
For everything.
Yeah, so if you're like, because that's like, because using the bad from the good is just like cutting it in half. That's really essentially what you're doing.
It's not this, but grape scissors. Can you use them on Shabbat?
Yeah, I mean, they're made for, what are they made for? Yeah, so I guess so, why not? Now, so far what we discussed is, oh, well, okay, there's a lot to do stuff. So far what we discussed basically is Breira from a mixture of good and bad. But there's a lot of halachas that come up, nogeya, good from good, sorting and selecting, like we said. So you wash the dishes Friday night, and now you want to set the table for Shabbos morning. So if you wash the dishes and you have now a pile of silverware, so you wouldn't be allowed to sort the silverware into its proper place. And you wouldn't either be allowed to take the silverware and set the table with it.
Because the table?
Yeah, because what you're doing... You have a pile of mixed silverware.
Plastic.
Right, if you have a pile of mixed silverware, you won't be allowed to go set the table in front of
it. Drawer, sort it.
Yeah. I'm talking about a mixed thing. You won't be allowed to go set the table in front of it. So how would you do it? So there's two ways that you could go about it. There's two ways you could do it. One way is that as you're drying it, you take whatever you're drying, and then you put it as you're drying it. You took it to dry, and then you put it in the right place. You make a different pile of forks, knives, etc., like that. So then they never got mixed in the first place.
Even if you have a bunch of them, like a fork, a knife, a spoon, all together.
While yeah, but you're drying one at a time.
Well,
so
you can't pick out a specific one. You just pick up.
Yeah, take whatever it is.
One by one. You can't decide.
Whatever. I mean, the one that's in your hand.
I just washed my silverware, a whole bunch in my thing. Now what?
I've got all the mixture.
And then what? And you put it down to dry?
So like in a dish, in a wrap. I'm drying them all together.
Yeah, so then you don't have this etza.
I'm drying them all together.
Then you don't have this etza. Then you have the other etza. Ramosha Feinstein says another etza for this is that you can make it not into a pile. So take all of it and then spread it out. Give it to your kids and then within a couple... spread it out all over the place, and then they're not going to be mixed anymore. They'll all be. So if you want to bring the whole pile, you can bring the whole pile to the table, and put it and kind of like sprawl it across the table, and then they won't be mixed together. But that won't help for that won't work for plates. So for plates, I guess what you should do for plates is that you should, as you're drying them, as you're putting them, put them l'chatchila separate. So if you know as you're washing it. That you could put in here. So put the big ones in one part and the small ones l'chatchila like that, so it never got to be mixed in the first place.
Once you do that, then you can set your table.
Yeah, because then it's not mixed, correct. Just if it's mixed, then you can't go ahead and set the table. Rav Shlomo Zalman says a very interesting svara that if it gives you tremendous nachas and simcha that when you see your table set, so then he says as far that's called using it for immediate use because you're having simcha right now that your table is set. But
so
I don't know if that really applies.
So you could set it that night for the next day?
You like that
so
svara?
You could set it Friday night for Shabbos.
So then according to Shlomo Zalman, you'd be able to take the whole pile and set the table.
So you can set it Friday night for Shabbos day.
What? That doesn't help for all the food. It just helps for the table. To look at the table. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A good start.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Can you do a Friday night for Shabbos day?
I think it's probably pushing. I think the butt you have the other way.
Yeah.
I can't hear it.
How about using that
star
in terms of like washing your dishes,
Shabbos
day, like after you know, or putting dishes away?
Like for
Hachana,
in other words.
Not for Hachana, but like I'm saying, let's say for me, I hate seeing my count, like I hate seeing dirty dishes and
right.
Other things, so it brings me
simple
right away.
Right. Yeah. We say that a lot of times, Vinegar Hachana on Yom Tif, that people, you know, from the first day to the second day, you want to wash your dishes because you don't like having it around. That could be a good reason to say that.
Really enjoy Shabbos.
Right.
Like really enjoy Shabbos if you walk into your kitchen and
you see. Right. 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 So then you want to wash it? You mean?
Yeah. Like what if you can't enjoy Shabbos.
Well, you have nowhere to put it. That gets that out of your
no,
out of
you
your
have
mind.
Somewhere to put it. You just can't.
Hide it in your oven.
Yeah. Hide it in your oven. Right.
That's
right.
My sister.
So that's what we do.
And you forgot, right? And I got right. Okay, so sorting, which is when you have everything is good, but you want to sort it into the right place. So this is Nagea in the kitchen. Nagea toys a lot of times. Let's say you want to put away a game. And all the cards got mixed up, or all the pieces got mixed up, and you want to put everything in the right box. So you won't be allowed to do that because what you're doing is you're taking a mixture and you're sorting them into the right place, and you're putting it away for after Shabbos. That would be also. You're not allowed to do that. If let's say you want to put the different color pieces of a game, all the reds here and the greens there and the blues there, so you won't be allowed to do that either. Under normal circumstances. When you're playing the game and you want to give out the reds to one child and the blues to another one and the greens to the other, that you would be allowed to do because that's for immediate use. So that you could do. So you could select and sort it for immediate use. But they can't clean up. But what you could do is you could tell them, take the greens and play with it, and then when you're done, put them away. So
what if they build a house out of blocks or magnetiles, and
right.
They take all the dollhouse items and fill them, and then they take the cars.
Right, So then what you have to do is you say, listen, you play with the cars for a couple of minutes, take all the cars out, play with it, and then put it away. But
at what age do you have to?
But to put away everything, like if it's mixed. Now again, if it's not mixed, if just everything's in a right. So if it's if it looks mixed on the floor, there's
so like if they build a ramp out of magnetiles for their cars to go flying off of.
Right. So I don't know exactly. how to define it. But if it looks like a mix on the floor, everything's together, there's a couple Legos and a couple of this, and it's all over the place, then it would be a problem. Pashtus, it's called selecting, you know, v'lachar zman. If you're going to need it again, if you need it again to play with right away, so then you could do that, because then again you're doing it for that use.
What if something is like totally example of what you spoke about that would normally be sorting for a later reason, like cleaning up a game? What if you have, usually it would only be a child, I guess, who like really enjoys the act and will keep him busy for a very long time? Because it just became like not necessarily a means to an end, does it become okay?
What, because they're playing, you mean?
Like, can you say to a kid who has nothing to do, sort out this complicated card game that takes a half hour to sort out, and that's your Shabbos activity? They do it?
Yeah, because they're doing it for immediate use.
So if that's not even though it's totally a sorting game. So a kid can take like baseball card or something like that and separate it out by team or whatever. It's not for a later use.
Well, why are they doing that for? Because they want to do it, or because they want
to,
or because they want to accomplish it so that like
it's
now.
It's a combination of like that's giving them enough, and they're also just a finished product that.
If the whole purpose of it is having it separated, so then they're enjoying separating, that's the problem. I mean, you can, you know what I mean? If it's just like you made up a new thing, so it's not like, if there's a tachlis in having them sorted, and that's where they're supposed to be, right? So that's the tachlis of it, so then I could hear more of a problem, because then it's just they're enjoying, to, you know, they're accomplishing something. Are they going to remix it up later and then... Right, so you're accomplishing. So you're accomplishing something.
But if it's like a half hour of him enjoying something, then it's different than when I'm cleaning it up.
So it's when I wash dishes.
This pops up all the time. That's why I'm asking.
Like that case.
He loves to organize things. So like. For him to take the Monopoly game and put it away.
Okay, I'll only think about it. I'm going to think about it.
He'd rather do that.
He doesn't want to play. He just wants to clean it.
Okay. A couple examples where a lot of this people know, but I'm just going to go over it again. A couple examples where selecting where bar doesn't apply is when it's min echad. So min echad means everything's really the same, and you're just. So for example, let's say you want to set up your kids' clothes for the morning. So you take out a pair of socks and put it out for the child to wear. So that's not bar, because you're not selecting one, even though it's really not for immediate use, it's for the morning, you're doing it at night for the morning. But since there's no mixture there, it's just a drawer of socks.
Colors?
Yeah, but really they're all the same. The color doesn't add to the use of this particular item. You know, so it doesn't really matter. So it's really just considered basically a pile of socks. And therefore, you could take out the one and leave it out for the morning. Because that's called min echad. That's not called, what?
Is that how jelly bellies work? Oh. When you serve them and
then you're
putting out.
Right.
Just in case you
know, once
I set the table purposely.
Yeah. So min echad is a common thing. And that also, benegiah, like clearing the table and putting away the food, if let's say you have a tray of schnitzel and there were some big pieces, some small pieces, and you want to put the big pieces in one container and the small pieces, that's all called one type. The fact that it's different size doesn't make it two different things. It's really one food item. So when you have, you know, the same food item and it's big and small, that's not subject to butter if it's really the same idea.
If it's mixed, like chicken with bones and schnitzel and whatever, well, then you're not allowed to...
Right. If it would be really mixed, then it would be two separate types of foods. If it's really one type of food, just like some big, some small, something like that, that wouldn't be a subject to butter. Also, if it's with, it still remains within the mixture. So, for example, let's say you have a bowl of chalons or something like that, and you want to move all the bones to one side of it. Since you're not taking them out, that's okay, because it's just reconfiguring the mixture. You're not separating things from the mixture, so that's okay. So you can move things around within the mixture, and that wouldn't be a problem. And also, like, you know, if it's clearly identifiable, like let's say on a bookcase, you have different books, and you want to take one out specifically for, you know, for a child to read in the morning or whatever, even though it's lachar zman, since it's not a taruvah, they're not mixed. If each thing is clearly identifiable what it is, that's not going to be a problem. And another thing we said is if you spread out the whole thing, let's say by the toys, and you want the kids to clean it up, then you could just temporarily make a bigger mess, take everything and spread it out in a way that they're not really in a pile together, then they're not mixed anymore. If they're not mixed anymore, then they can put everything back in the right place.
But otherwise, you could just throw it all into one big bucket, right? And just make a huge mess if I wanted to clean it up. Right?
Well, that what does that
I'm
do?
I'm saying I could take everything.
Well, then it's in a bucket. Take everything and spread it out, so it's right. Not together.
I'm saying otherwise, if I don't feel like making an even bigger mess, somebody's at my front door, I can just throw it all into one bucket.
Well, then you're not mixing. Then you're not sorting it. Right.
What if I'm separating something, let's say from a salad, like I don't like tomatoes,
but someone
I'm
else
giving
does?
It to someone. Can I take it
right,
out?
Right. So then that's okay. You know, that's common with kids, let's say. If you want to take out the carrot from one child and give it to the other one or whatever, you know, from the soup. So if you're just taking out the carrot because the child doesn't like it, that would be a problem. Unless you take it with a bowl with soup in the spoon. But to pick out the carrot because the child doesn't like it is fine. But if you want it or if you want to give it to someone else, then that would be okay. They talk about that, Shiloh.
But you can eat around it, right? Like if you just don't want to.
Yeah, that's what you should do. That's what you should do. Yeah.
But you're only doing it because you don't like it. But as long as you're giving it to someone else, it's okay?
Yeah, they talk about that. But yeah, that would be fine. Especially if you want it, then it's also good, for sure. Another halacha that someone else mentioned, which is going to run through. Again, some of this is pashut, but it's kedai to mention anyway. Grinding on Shabbos, toichen. So grinding means, in Mishnah, it really means grinding, but included in grinding is two things that we do, is mashing and cutting into small pieces, even though that's not really grinding, but that's, Chazal says, also included in the halacha of grinding. So therefore, you're not allowed to cut into small pieces on Shabbos. That only applies to fruits and vegetables, things that grow from the ground, but chicken and eggs and stuff like that you could, no problem, you could grind and make it into small pieces. So if someone, well, you want to serve chicken to someone, a child, you want to cut the chicken up into teeny pieces, that's all fine, but fruits and vegetables, you're not allowed to cut into small pieces. So the only hetter to cut fruits and vegetables into small pieces is doing it again, samach l'suda. So you have a lot to do when you come home from shul before you start your meal. You have to peel... No, the
you
egg is fine.
Chop up your egg
the egg is fine.
Mix the egg.
Well, the egg, yeah, that's a different issue.
Chop it up right.
Yeah. The egg, you could. The egg, what? So small. So, whatever you do during the week, a drop bigger than during the week. I would say a drop bigger. I mean, everyone's different. But even when you're doing samach l'suda, you can't do really tiny pieces. So like a really fine like Israeli salad or something like that. Even samach l'suda. Even close to the meal, you shouldn't do that at all. So you always have to leave it a little bit bigger than usual.
Can you define what fine means?
Not really.
Recipe calls for fine.
You know,
it's really salad to me is not fine.
Right? It's diced into small pieces. You take a cucumber and you dice it into like nine, you know, something like that. So you're dicing it into pretty small pieces. That's a problem. And the Chazon Ish has a chumrah, and it's interesting. Where Moshe finds in the tshuva, he brings down this Chazon Ish. He says he doesn't agree with it, but since the Chazon Ish said it, you have to be machmer for it. Is that mashing is also no matter what, even close to the meal. So that means avocado, guacamole, something like that. No, exile and chopped liver. Well, that's not because that's not a fruit of butcher, but right. I'm talking about like a banana. Or an avocado, something like that, mashing it the normal way, even close to the meal, you're not allowed to do. So what should you do? So the only thing Ramosha says is you should use the back of the spoon, right? The back of a fork with a shinui. Yeah. So the back of the spoon or whatever, that you can do. But for example, let's say you do it the regular way. So what? Let's say you spread like avocado on bread. That you can't do at all, even if you're about to eat it, because that's the regular way to do it. But if you make a salad, you know, either we want to mash a banana for a child, or you want to mash make like this guacamole salad or something like that, then you should use the back of a spoon and you make a shinui. And also, whenever you're doing teichin, whenever you're grinding, you can never use a kli, which is made for that. So it means you can't use like a garlic press, well obviously because that cuts into small pieces, but let's say a potato, a masher or anything like that. You can't use a kli, which is made specifically for that either. Now, one other quick halacha is okay. So let's talk about that quickly. Oh no, I'm not going to discuss that this week. Next week or next year. Okay. Okay. Are there any questions? Wait, what do you mean?
No, then you can't do it.
Right, then it's not a shinui.
Shinui, you have to do it with the shinui.
Right, then it's not a shinui. What?
Yaffa, you can't do it. Then it's not a shinui if you do it.
Find another way to do it.
Use it.
Right. Ramosha says it could be the front of the spoon even.
Oh, I'm not sure. Do you mean the handle? Do you mean
the handle.
Yeah. Oh, like, so there's no way to make guacamole with a regular utensil? What if you smash it in a plastic bag?
Doesn't it just say,
like,
totally
blow in your
hand? Fine, so that's for sure
a
foul.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You
use
your hands. Yeah,
if you don't use your hands, it's okay.
Use your feet.
What?
Put a plastic bag on your foot. Step on it.
But it's chicken. But it's also, it's not made for grind. I don't think that's what, right. Right. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, because the meat. Yeah, because you're not grinding. And it's not a clean made for grinding. So, yeah, so you would have to really, yeah, you have to. So Ramosha says it could be like the round part of the spoon is also a shinui. But really what he says, the best thing is to use this, the back of the spoon. The handle.
I've got a knife, and I would never use a knife to smush down.
So you could say it's back in the spoon, right? When I say the back, I mean the handle. Right. Right. It's the same as a flat knife, I guess. It's the same idea. But that's right. Another example of what she's saying is a potato from the chow. Now, the truth
why
is,
why can't you just use your hand and put a plastic bag? Put it
so
put
could
a
be.
Glove
by the way,
on,
yeah.
Like,
if it's very difficult to do that, then you could be more makeable, because on cooked vegetables, you know, the banana and the avocado is raw. So, but on cooked vegetables, there's a reason that we could be more lenient. And besides, this whole thing's chazanish. So you could be more lenient if you have to. If you can't find a way to do it, it's getting too, you know, it's not working. You could probably just use the fork, but in that case, because it's a cooked vegetable. Okay. So, are there any other questions? I think so.
What?
You could use a scissors and Shabbos.
Like a chicken. Yeah, that's just to even cut the bag.
Yeah. Is there a reason why you can't use regular scissors?
Why is mukta?
Hey, maybe it's mukta, it's a klish and lachta list, so you can't move it for no reason, but if you're using it to cut something that you're allowed to cut on Shabbos.
Yeah. If you want to wash dishes Friday night for Shabbos day, right? I'm very into dishes. You're using wash them because they're for Shabbos day. But you don't need all of them for Shabbos day. Is it better to separate which ones you're gonna need and put those ones you don't need in dishwasher?
Again, as long as what you're doing is as you're washing them, then you can do whatever you need to do. You know, if let's say you put them all in the thing, then you take one and wash it. Now you want to put it down. But don't put it back in the sink, right?
I want to put some in the dishwasher.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. What?
Let's say I don't need. I had 20 people Friday night, and I only need 10 of my dishes for Shabbos lunch. So I want to put half of them in my dishwasher.
So. Right. So as you're putting them away, you can put them straight away in there. If it's in your, if you're holding it for a different reason, you didn't pick it up with the intention to be borrowed. You're it's in your hands for a different reason. Let's say you just cleared it from the table, or it's on your counter, and you're either putting it in the sink or in the dishwasher.
Okay, so you have to know where you're gonna put it.
Right. If you put everything in the sink, it's already there, and now you're taking it out from there just for the purpose of putting it away. Now again, if you have a pile of plates. And you're putting half the plates, that's not borrowed, because that's min echad. That's all the same thing. So if you have a big pile of plates and you don't put half here, half there, that's fine also. You're not borrowing two things.
Can you just wash everything Friday night, even if you don't do all of it Shabbos?
I think they say once you start, you can continue. So if there's no other questions, so again, next week we're not going to have it in the shir, and then the next one is the following Sunday, is I think the November 24th. Okay.